This is Sky Sports Radio, your racing leader. And it's time for Punter's Postmortem. Punter's Postmortem.
Capitalis, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second, but Capitalis takes it out. Capitalis by a half length.
Call 1353 53. We've got the best racing experts in town. Welcome to Punter's Postmortem.
Well, it's a little bit like the Blues Brothers, isn't it? That classic movie. I thought it was a documentary at the time, but it was let's get the band back together, and that's exactly what's happened. Punter's Postmortem is back by popular demand, and joining us on the line is, well, he's probably the Belushi of the band, I'd say. Well, definitely the Belushi of the band. When you have a look at the waistline, Ronnie Duffersey, good morning, buddy.
Yeah, good morning, TK. Some great racing around at the moment and to come. We Winx Day again on Saturday. We get the Surround and I think the Guy Walter, the Sweet Embrace, the Skyline, the Liverpool City Cup, all at Randwick there. And plenty to review from Rosehill Gardens on Saturday, and also with Dino with Flemington with an interesting Lightning. And obviously the country championships was the story of the day yesterday with Stoney Rise and James Hatch. So plenty to talk about, and obviously the ruling slipper favourite, She Will Reign, it will offer some discussion as well.
As you mentioned too, the suspension of Huey Bowman getting another piece of time out of Hong Kong after riding their big meeting overnight. And this tremendous story coming out of the country championships at Dubbo with the Burke trainer, the back of Burke trainer in James Hatch getting his horse through and qualifying and winning yesterday, which was tremendous to see. We are trying to make contact with James, but as you can imagine, communication a little bit of a problem when you're 200 Ks as the crow flies the back of Burke. Good morning to you, Dean Lester. It was quite a dramatic Lightning for you, in particular with the quarterback down and the barriers, and it caused quite a stir.
It certainly did, TK. Good morning to you. It was terrible to watch.
Yep.
And terrible that two other runners didn't get their chance to run in the Group 1 because of his actions. But, it was very unsavoury.
The horse fine?
He's pretty good, yeah.
He's very good, actually.
He's got a graze. When he first came back in the mounting, he's got a graze across his right knee and he's got a little bit of skin off his back legs. But really, for what went on, thanks to a far-sinking barrier attendant called Eli, who virtually went and sat on his head because he could have broken his back, the position he was in. And they got the gate open and got him out. But it wasn't a good time.
No, not at all.
Does he have a history of barrier problems?
He goes in and he'll just do a little bunny hop when he first goes in, and then he settles down. And what he did on Saturday, we had rain just before the race, and he did that, and he slipped behind. And you can see it on the stewards' film as clear as day that he wasn't distressed, but he slipped and lost his balance.
Right, because he hasn't done it before,
no,
has he?
No, but it's virtually a habit. He walks in, and it's the first thing he does. It's the way he settles himself down virtually Max Allen, the rider, explained it, but he just slipped.
Dino, was there any thought with the fracas that was created that you would unload the entire field and then reload? Because it was major drama, and the remaining runners were standing there. Look, it seemed like 5 minutes to me. It probably wasn't 5 minutes, but that's what it seemed like.
I sort of thought that there was some sort of disadvantage to some of them, and the veterinary process of three horses having to go through three Flying Artie probably should have been better because he reared up and tossed Damien Oliver off. But obviously they deemed that he hadn't hit anything, or it was just a clean incident. But yeah, it was a significant amount of time and couldn't have been ideal.
Look, Ronnie, in my opinion, I just thought I didn't want a trainer coming out and saying the reason for the defeat was the fact that, my horse was standing in the barrier too long. I just thought if they could have, got them out, reloaded them, it would have been all back to square again.
Yeah.
But it's a time-consuming thing, but we did have 5 minutes.
But still, I think a couple of those minutes were to concentrate on the care of a horse that was laying underneath a petition.
Yep.
You can't say get all these runners out. All hands on deck would have been with the quarterback there. And after, that would have lasted 2 or 3 minutes. And then all the process comes down to is probably vetting the two horses next to him. So, look, I'd be a little bit more leaning as far as that's concerned.
Sure.
Because once he flipped, I think... Bang. And that bloke that did sit on his head, that was an amazing piece of horsemanship. And as we know, if a horse gets between two petitions and he panics and tries to get up, he can break his back.
Yeah.
I've seen it happen before.
I felt distressed watching it myself.
So
then when I thought Dean's in the horse, obviously worried about his own horse, but you would have been worried about causing damage to other horses as well.
Yeah, and obviously Matty Allen's a good mate of mine. Yep. And, the first thing you could see, he was clear, which was good. But, as he put it, he said he was standing there 1 minute and the next minute he was a 580-kilo thrashing machine. So,
yeah.
And that's exactly what it was.
Let's say a very good morning to Glenn Muncy from tab.com.au. G'day, Glenn.
Guys, I've got to go on the radio. It's my shot. Good morning, TK. Good morning, Duff, and good morning, Dina. Great to have the band back together, as Dean said, on Saturday morning, although it has disrupted a normal Monday morning game of golf.
There's plenty of other time for golf, mate.
I don't know when that is, TK. Yeah. Monday was a regular.
I can tell you what, you didn't spare too much time, mate, reeling in She Will Reign after that super impressive performance. I guess you had no choice, but $3 now for the Golden Slipper?
Well, TK, she was actually made outright favourite for the Golden Slipper on the back of a trial at Warwick Farm before she resumed. She was into a $5 chance before Saturday. And, it's the simple thing that we said it on Saturday morning. You had three of those horses in the race on Saturday were in the top eight in the slipper market. And what she did to them, Khan, poor old Khan, he's probably gone back and he's still laying on the ground in his box there wondering, what She Will Reign did to him. And Veronillo, well, he went quite good. I know Duff wants desperate to get blinkers on him. But because of the fact she's raced against those horses in the top of the market and been dominant as a dominant favourite. And you've got to consider, she was 225 this time last week for the Silver Slipper when first markets went up on the race. She ran $1.35. And that's probably the biggest firm up in a two-year-old race we've had all year. And she's beaten them. Your heart was in your mouth when she missed the kick. And, well, I know that Gary Portelli said before she trialled at Warwick Farm the other day, he'd love to ride her in behind. But they just haven't had the opportunity.
Well, they have now.
They had the opportunity on Saturday. Look what she did.
Yeah, well, look, he was even confident when she missed the kick, Gary. I heard him say he never thought she'd get beaten. And he'd rather see a race just off the pace, as you've touched upon, Glenn. And he now thinks that the 1,200 is not a problem with She Will Reign, Ronnie, and I guess punters think that too because she's a $3 favourite in the Golden Slipper. Utsun, $8. Minari, $11. Veronillo, who was pretty good on the weekend, $11. Chauffeur, $15. Jorda, $15. Trekking, $15.
Yeah, look, it's I'm gushing about the performances, as much as anyone, as a race goer.
But.
But as a punter and trying to put a lid on things, you look to be a Golden Slipper winner. I think it's the old tale. You've got to run as good as time as the older horses on the day. Invariably, the highway handicap is our slowest race. They run faster than her. I know that she missed the start and couldn't run that time from where she was. But we are talking about a 2-to-1 favourite, a $3 favourite in a Golden Slipper, a long way out. So I don't think she's a betting proposition.
Yes.
If she does the same thing in the Skyline, fair enough. She's a 2-to-1 chance then.
Mm. And the other reason she's a 2-to-1 chance is have a look at the horses behind her. Hootson has got to come back from the Gold Coast.
Exactly.
Right? Minari.
He's a good horse, Minari.
I know it was unlucky the other day, but it's got to come out. It's not in the race at the moment. She is in the race now, winning that race on Saturday. Guarantees her a start in the slipper. Minari has got to do it. He was unlucky. Chauffeur. He's going to have one run before the slipper. He's got to earn prize money because his prize money is all based around the Magic Million. So is Hootson. Mm. With the next two there, Jorda and Trekking, both have had some sort of a setback.
Tracking trial today, did he? Or
well, I think he was due to trial today, whether or not he's gone round at the moment.
We'll get a report. If he's been round, we will get a report.
And then you get out to the 26, and you get to the $26 chances very, very quickly. You've only got, you know, $3, $8, 11 a pair, 15 each of three. So there's only seven runners, and then you're at the 25-1 chances. So you're wide in the market very, very quickly.
Yeah, so what Ronnie's saying is that She Will Reign can possibly win the slipper and may well win it, but at $3, you don't want to jump in and take that. And I guess I think I agree with him, Dino. What are your thoughts after you saw She Will Reign, and what do you make of this time theory about running the time that the older horses run?
Oh, look, I think if the race was 2 weeks away, you'd be happy to be thinking that off what she did on Saturday, she's the deserved favourite. We've got that's such a volatile market, two-year-old racing. She's deserved to be the top pick, and then market forces decide price. Well, when you've got market forces, you can decide, and I'd decide against that price.
Yep, Khan was worse than Common. Khan finished last, did drift in the market at the track, firmed up a little bit late, Ronnie, but how did Khan look in the yard, and was there any indication that Khan, well, I've got to say, below expectations? Well, certainly below my expectations.
It was awful.
Yeah.
He looked beautiful. He'd put on a heap of weight, and he looked a big stallion. He walked in with one of those big stallion chains to control him in the yard. It's a long way back from there.
Yeah.
Even though he's got master trainers, and they were talking him down the week before the race, saying, you know, he's going to run well, but he's not ready, well, pretty well not ready yet. But, you know, he did run last.
Yeah, that's right. It's not like, it was not like last year, say, Capitalist, is it? Where had that sort of okay average run.
That's right. No, he's he's definitely in a bit of trouble.
Yeah. We'll take your thoughts regarding the slipper and the performance of She Will Reign. It's just one of those really good stories. I love in racing, you know, the old four-legged lottery, the $20,000 purchase by Scott Darby from Darby Racing. Got to say, he's got the Midas touch, Scott. He's a good man to be involved with as well. They've had Yankee Rose and now this one, She Will Reign, $20,000. We'll now go to the Riesling, Ronnie.
Yep.
And then, you know, obviously just be topped off beautifully, hopefully, for the slipper.
Yeah, that's right. So all eyes are on her and the Riesling, and she can stamp herself there because she'll be at the 1,200, and she'd had a run under her belt. So if she's impressive winning the Riesling, then we'll talk about cooking with gas and saying 2-1's a legitimate price.
Yeah. Glenn, what did you make of the track come the weekend at Rose Hill? It was certainly leader bias. In saying all that, we've only spoken about a horse that was tailed off last and came from last to win. But She Will Reign actually got up on the inside part of the track, and you know, I'll go to Glenn first, then Ronnie, but many of the others who got back and then tried to make their runs down the outside and the centre of the track struggled.
Yeah, well, the horses that did make the most amount of ground, you had a look at Hieroglyphics in the last, it was back sort of, you know, past midfield and only stayed probably four off the fence. Mm. There wasn't any sort of right down the outside type horses. We had 19 mils of rain in a storm on Friday afternoon there, but when you get that sort of situation, the rain sort of hits and goes in half an hour, and I was probably surprised how well the track was early in the day. But the only thing you don't want is rain in the middle of the meeting, and I don't know exactly how much rain they got at Rose Hill in the storm, Ronnie, because I wasn't there. You know, I was at Goulburn, but, you know, did the track sort of deteriorate after that storm?
No. The track was better than than the forecast, I would have thought, because it was 5-minute rain. You know, it wasn't just that drenching
soaking rain.
It was just one of those electrical storms that comes in, goes bang, drops a couple of mils, and it's gone. And most of it rolls off the track. And that's what sort of, it put everyone off a little bit. They couldn't work this track out. A couple of probably non-wet trackers won there. In her time, I would have thought, was a real on-top-of-the-ground sort of a mare, but she got through it perfectly. And, there was one or two others there that, you know, were very queries on the wet that run well, including Red Excitement, and who went from, you know, $3 out to $9.50 because they perceived wet track, and he's got beater nose. And, just a few little things there to say. And the times weren't bad.
Mm. The other good horse to come out of the meeting appears to be Antonio Giuseppe. I'm not too sure how far this horse can go, Ronnie, and I'll get the opinion of the entire panel and also our listeners on 13 53 53. So if you call now, we're going to get to your calls as well. So call 13 53 53. The lovely Tanya will take your calls. But Antonio Giuseppe just won by about, I don't know, length and a half, but won like a good horse and sort of stretched out like a good horse over that final 100 and in particular the last 50.
He was always in control. He's a good horse. I think he's a good horse. You know, he's a middle distance, you know, mile and a half, and who knows, might be a 2 mile sort of a horse, being by Shocking. It's very hard for those type of horses to have a terrific winning strike rate, and he's 6 from 10 now.
Yeah.
Could he be the other way, Duff, that he goes to 2,000 and then does that back to a mile in a Doncaster or something?
Well, I don't think he's entered. Is he? Okay. Well,
and that is one of Chris's goes.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to be a strong 2,000 metre horse to win a Doncaster, they say.
Well, it hasn't been sort of stable talk that I've heard, just to say that was on the agenda, but that would add a bit of interest because he's a horse that he's not just a flop out the back horse. I like the way he grabbed the bit and wanted to be in the race and took the race by the scruff of the neck. So, he could well be treated that way in the autumn and saying, well, if he's real good, now maybe we don't want to get him to 2 mile until the spring.
Well, normally you would see something in the market regarding that, Glenn, and I don't think we have for the Doncaster,
well,
have
he's
we?
He's a 200-to-1 chance in the Doncaster, TK. There's $97 invested on him. Now that Dino's just planted that seed.
That's going to change pretty quickly.
No, you
were speculating.
There's a lot sillier 200-to-1 chances to have something on rather than a horse like him. Look at the difference in the Sydney Cup, which he's got to get to the Sydney Cup distance. He only got to the Metropolitan last year on basically his first prep, and he started favourite in the Metropolitan. He's an $8 chance, an $8 favourite for the Sydney Cup, but I love him as a racehorse because they just don't do what he did his last campaign. He went from basic benchmark racing to start favourite in the Metropolitan and run a very, very good race. Jeez. And there he comes back. His trials, like all the trial pervs, that's the only horse they were worried about on Saturday. And the surprising aspect was how much he drifted in the last 5 minutes of betting.
Wouldn't the Sydney Cup be an easier target than a Doncaster?
Absolutely, but...
Yeah, but, you know, it's...
Got to do it.
Yeah, that's
no,
right.
You've got to get the 2 mile, I understand that.
Well, he's by Shocking out of a High Chaparral mare. Everything points to him being a strong stayer, but you never know, do you get him... He's been to the mile and a half once, and he was gallant. He was gallant in the Metro.
But he's older, stronger.
Of course.
Matured and stretched out really, really nice. But we'll take your views on 13, 53, 53. And, the flops of the day, if you get to them, it's going to be hard to go past Khan, wouldn't it? I'll tell you what else was very, very ordinary.
Allergic. It was probably one of the flops of the day, considering the marketplace.
Was it the biggest overreaction of the day in the market?
Well, in retrospect, yes.
It was $8 on Thursday.
It was 13, actually.
13 on Wednesday, was it?
Wednesday.
13.
Was a $5 chance Friday night. It was a $4.60 chance Saturday morning.
The last 5 minutes of betting was 3:30 to 2:70.
Yeah, so it wasn't just an early aberration.
An early,
yeah,
it was no way it was an early crow.
Well, I think it was a matter of line. What are we left with? It.
Yeah, and the map as well. The map looked fast, but the pattern wasn't there. But
just plotted.
Yeah, plotted. Maybe it was a fitness thing. Second up, and probably a testing race. But
I don't believe that second up syndrome exists.
I don't think so. Well,
do you, Dino? Now they have so many trials. Most of them have had two, sometimes three trials by the time they have their first start, and the old second start syndrome seems to have worn off.
Yeah, I think it comes down to that. If they've had the trialing or if they have a really tough run first up, well, then there's a little bit of a chance of it, but that can happen 4 runs into a preparation. If they have that really tough run, they can flatten out at their next run. Yeah.
We haven't spoken about the Lightning. What did you make of it, Dino?
It was, well, I mean...
They trotted early.
I was going to say, a quarter of the field was scratched at the barriers, so it probably went from 12 to 9, and it probably took, with Fardinar not coming across from out wide, probably took a fair bit of pressure out of the race. I think they went too slow with Heatherly. She's a fast horse. Mm. Would have been better to really rip along. I just think good horses like Terra Vista and that were still on the bit with 300 to go, and they were just able to kick home late. Speeth, I just think he'll win the Newmarket. I think he's going beautifully. He ran well at 1,000. He'll be better at 1,200. Star Turn ran well. But, again, I would like to have seen him rip along. I think they just sat up too much in front and gave horses with bigger finishes a chance to run over them.
Well, you keep half the field in the race,
yeah,
don't you? Instead of trying to blow them away, if you can, with that speed that you possess, particularly over that 1,000 metres down the straight, you give them a hope instead of taking any hope away from them. So you think some trainer's going to have to
say
to some jockey,
yeah,
get out there, make the pace and go for home.
They're the fastest supposed 1,000-metre horses, and yet they ran the first 200 metres a length and a half below standard.
And then they
didn't build excessively in the middle, about 2.5 lengths, and then they've kicked home very, very fast late, of course, but it was a 400-metre sprint more than a 1,000-metre race.
And I don't think that would have changed even without the drama at the barrier, because it seems just to be the modern way.
Yeah.
Down the straight, they're cantering, and then they're waiting for that big sprint.
It certainly wasn't an example of elite sprinting, that's for sure.
No.
I'm really hoping, Glenn, that for Bryce Hayes' sake, Spieth's just, we're not going to finish another campaign and go, this is such an unlucky horse. And there was criticism that maybe Huey, I'm not about to second guess Huey, by the way, should have gone to that inside where there was massive amount of room, but he was hell-bent on going between the gap, which was very, very minor. The head-on footage just goes there was a couple of bumps, and he got a hit across the head as well, didn't he, with a whip?
He did, yep.
And you've got to realise, it was Terra Vista that won the race.
Got it.
Go back 12 months, and everyone was talking on this day of how Terra Vista should have won.
Should have won, yeah.
World's best sprinter.
Mm. You know, Damien
dropped the rein
whip,
and
dropped
the
rein
whip.
And the whip and that. Yep. And we would have been talking about, how did he get to the price that he got to? That's what I'm worried about on Saturday.
Been a long 12 months for him, hadn't it? He hadn't really, I think he'd only had 5 or 6 starts, but he hadn't won.
500 days since his last win.
I think people thought he maybe, gone off, so to speak. Although I see Joe was very, very confident, and, he talked it up before the race as well as obviously after the race, but a 7-year-old, and the old Warriors are certainly hard to beat. Just got that, worked himself into the race beautifully with Corey Brown. And great to have Corey Brown back in Sydney and riding so well and back in our Aussie jockey rank. And just before we get to callers, repeating that news that unfortunately Huey Bowman has copped another suspension, this one coming out of a careless riding charge in Hong Kong. Huey was outed for his ride on Donozo in the Hong Kong Classic Cup at Sha Tin on Sunday. Now, he's going to miss 3 meetings, March 1, 5 and 9. And, of course, he's already missing 3 meetings after failing to ride out his mount here. So it's a tightrope because we're all talking about this ride with Winks. So he's got a tightrope to walk, Ronnie, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's treading a fine line there, and I think they were even thinking about putting a higher charge on Huey there other than careless riding.
Okay. Reckless?
Yeah, something like that, yeah. But okay. But that's a 3-day suspension, 1, 5 and 9. That was Hong Kong day, so it would be Wednesday, Sunday.
So Sunday.
He misses one Saturday here, and unfortunately...
That's Ram McGuinness.
So he would have been on Luramain there. He would have missed... He misses Laura Main in one of the main races that day.
Okay. Well, it'll be good to have him back when he does get back. Hello, Wayne. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. The boys are all listening. Dean Lester, Ronnie Duffersey, Glenn Munsey.
Boys, I just need your take on coming through on Saturday. I didn't see the run, but I wasn't very impressed with the call. I thought he had every chance.
He did.
He did have every chance, but still he's a Chris Waller horse with a target. I thought he was a little bit sluggish first up, where he I know it was only 1,200, but he's a big heavy colt, and he just didn't want to go first up. What I liked about him on Saturday, he got on the bit and travelled closer and wanted to be there. I think that'll top him off now for that Randwick Guineas, and he's going to run really, really well. I thought he was going to be dominant amongst this 3-year-old lot, and I was thinking he was my early pick for the Doncaster. But look, I'd be happy enough with him, Wayne. I think he'll be spot on come that target race, the Randwick Guineas, and run well.
So do you think he'll go to the Doncaster?
It'll all revolve around his Randwick Guineas run, I'd say.
Okay.
If he comes out and wins that or was unlucky, I think it's the next step for him will be the Doncaster.
Yeah.
And I'm just wondering if Dean might know, is David Hayes' horse Ventura Storm in the country yet? Melbourne Cup horse that he bought.
I don't know.
It was supposed to be coming in February, and I haven't heard anything, that's all.
Okay, well, there is a quarantine group due pretty soon, so I would say he'd be in that if he's supposed to be coming in February.
That would be the first wave, would it? There'd be a couple after that.
Oh, yeah, there's probably every couple of months.
Yeah.
He's got a stable return in at Euroa, so he's obviously in the country.
Okay.
I want to ask Dean about David Hayes' horses.
Yes, well. From Friday night?
No.
Oh.
I'd be asking about it.
I'd be asking about it, Ronnie.
Yeah, I want to ask about Esh Tarak? Did he win at Pakenham and then somewhere else after that? Is he going to run the Blue Diamond?
Yep.
Okay.
I don't know if he's quite good enough.
Don't you? Okay.
I thought that the win at Pakenham was good. The next run was a good win again. I'm just wondering if he's got one more 1,200 metre run in him or he's looking for a bit further.
Okay.
All right. Now, can I ask my query?
Yes.
I'll put my 20 cents in the front. What about the juvenile from David Hayes on Friday night?
Murakeb?
Mm.
Yeah, he's a beauty.
How good do you think?
Well, he's going to the Black Opal and then hopefully the Slipper. So they're aiming that way. He's very, very good. His trials had suggested he'd be strong. You sort of couldn't get a handle on how good he was off the trials. But when they asked for that next gear the other day, it was there, and I like him a lot.
Got him nice safe somewhere, Glenn?
$26 in the Slipper, Murakeb.
Okay.
It's going to be a nice old race, that Blue Diamond, that Black Opal. You know, I think Conda Heroes might be going there. He might be a forgotten horse.
Yep.
Was there talk of even Hudson going there? I'm not sure.
Okay. It's coming back into vogue a little bit, the Black Opal, which is good
timing.
To see.
Fits in well.
Yeah. Hello, Eric. Good morning.
Morning. Look, morning, gentlemen. There's a question I'd like to ask. Last Monday, the races were at Grafton. They've got the 2,200 metre race. The last 600 run in 34.17. In Sydney, Winks, I think, come home in 34.75. There's something wrong with the times here. Golden Glimmer, they've got Golden Glimmer coming home in 35-something. In a 2,200-metre race at Grafton, they're running in 34. And the next race, they come home in 33.29. Wrong?
They come home in 32s at Hawkesbury.
Yeah. Different tracks, different conditions there, Eric. It's Grafton was very hard there. Look, Perfect Deb smashed a course record that day in the qualifier. So that can be very, very misleading, trying to do times that way.
You've got to do apples with apples, don't you? You've got to try and get them on the same
That's right.
On the same track and even on the same surface to make sure.
As Glenn says, you know, at Hawkesbury, the maideners can come home in 32. So.
Yeah. Is the measuring stick not quite working there?
I don't know. It's just for tracks are faster.
All right. Thank you very much, Eric, for that. Barry, good morning to you.
Yeah, g'day, TK. This is maybe for Munsey a bit.
Yep.
I do quaddies and multiple selections, and on the weekend there was a couple of scratchings, and apparently they give you the sub.
Yeah.
But if I already had the sub selected, I ended up phoning up the TAB and arguing why hasn't my percentage gone up. With the two scratchings that I had out of the three, my percentage didn't go up at all, and they said I would have got the 11 three times, because I already had it selected.
As the sub.
And it would have gone up that way, but if I wanted to back the 11, do the 11 three times, wouldn't I put the bet on three times?
Yep,
how can
yep.
they give me
because
a selection that I've already got?
Because that's the rule. If there's a scratching, you get the substitute. What about if you're betting around the favourite, you still get the substitute, which is the favourite?
I had the substitute already in my selections. Why would I want it two or three times?
Because that is the rule that if there is a scratching, your investment goes on to the substitute, whether you're on that or you're not on it. Mm. As I just said, what about if you purposely bet around the favourite, you then get the substitute, the horse that you didn't want to be on. That's the rule.
You'd like them to ring you back and get a personal choice, Barry. Sorry?
Don't you reckon the rules should change?
Well, everyone tells you every rule should be changed, but they're not, because the reason they do the substitute rule is they did a survey, and that's what the people recommended we should do.
Who did they survey?
I don't know. I don't get everyone's name and address, but we do actually go out and ask people what their ideas are, and that's when they come up with those rules.
Barry, I'm going to take a wild stab in the dark here. The substitute never got the cash.
No, the substitute didn't, but I still got the quaddie. I still had the one that won the third leg.
Good.
But my percentage didn't go up, because if you put a quaddie on and say you got four selections in each race, it's four times four times four times four.
Yep.
Well, take two selections out. The total dividend for your 100% is going to be a lot less. You know what I mean? Like, so, and they're giving me the number 11 that I already had in the selection. Yeah. I just think it's a rotten rule.
Well, it's always a rotten rule if the sub doesn't win.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Also, if there's there's a quaddie going and it's rained off, you guys come up with a special dividend. And if I've put field in and tickets cost me 100 or 200, the special divvy comes out saying $20. I've done me day because of the rain.
No, you might get it 14 times, though, if you've got the field. You'll get the special dividend, the amount of horses you've got.
You've got 14 runners going in the last leg. You get 14 times the dividend. You don't get one dividend.
Yeah.
All right. But anyway, once again, that's a crook rule that you've got to give them both.
I would give up on the quaddies, maybe. Yeah. Daily doubles might be the go.
Good on you, Barry. Thank you. We're here to take some queries.
Bet fixed odds all up if you scratch.
Why did you create that rule anyway, Glenn?
Well, that was one I did in my holidays, Dean.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought I'd wait till this first day back.
You did it 45 years ago,
Glenn,
down here in Melbourne.
Glenn,
I know that.
If I have the Caulfield Cup, Melbourne Cup double with the same
the same horse.
Oh, what about the other
mind
one?
Mind you, you've never... I don't accept that explanation. I've never accepted that explanation.
Yeah. Guy got me the other day. He said, I backed Ecuador. I tried to back Ecuador the other day to win the race he was in, then win the Doncaster, and then win some other race. And he said, you wouldn't let me on it. And I said, yes, they'll let me on it, but you'll take a reduced dividend. He said, but why? It's got to win three races. I said, well, sit down. We'll have a discussion for half an hour.
All right. Ronnie, you said this is one of the great racing stories. You've been around racetracks. We've all been around racetracks for a long, long time. And the country championships have been a fantastic inclusion to our calendar. But there was one terrific story that unfolded out at Dubbo yesterday with the winner of the country championship. And James Hatch is the trainer. And he is literally from the back of Bourke, 200 Ks out the back of Bourke. James joins us on the line. G'day, James.
G'day, bud. How are you?
Ah, terrific. Not as good as you.
I'm feeling a bit worse for this morning. Well, I'm good.
Congratulations, mate. Can you give us a... Where exactly are you? Where the hell are you?
We're 200K northwest of Bourke. We sort of hit off the bitch and about 15K out of Bourke, and then she's corrugated road from there on.
Oh, gee. Mate, I've got to ask you a question. What happened to both times I went to Charleville?
Charleville, yeah.
I don't know. It wasn't good enough on the day.
How'd you come about him, James? Did you buy him at a yearling sale or as a tried horse?
I bought him at the Dubbo yearling sale, the Peter Milling sale there every February.
Where do you work him? You know, like you don't go to, Bourke 200 kilometres to work him every morning, do you?
No, mate, we do it all at home. He's one of those horses we can throw the saddle on, get the cows in and... He gets a bit of everything and breaks it up a bit.
Have you got a track work jockey out there at where you are?
No, mate, she's a little red car there from name of Diet to Charade. Gets a lead now and again.
and he's done the majority of his racing in picnic races.
That's now, right, mate. Yeah, I think he won his first start at the Bourke Picnics, that big meeting they had there at the back of Bourke Picnics there. They hadn't raced there for, I'm not sure, 15 years or so, and they had the first one there when we took him there for his first start.
Mate, obviously it was a fantastic thrill for you yesterday, James. Can you tell us, how close is your nearest neighbour out there?
Oh, mate, 15, 20K.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Okay, so I bet you got a few new mates now.
Oh, mate, I'm hearing from people I didn't even know I had, mate.
I was looking on social media there. You got offers for... A box at Randwick, you can have a box at Rose Hill. I think Blake Ryan said you can have a box at Gerald's place, and Lee Curtis said you can have a box at his place. You own it yourself, they're not going to poach the horse. So you get him down here early, or do you just bring him down the week of the race?
Oh, mate, yeah, I'll just get him back home today and probably see how we'll work it out after a couple of weeks, see how we're going, and sort of look for a bit of a lead up run if we can get one close enough.
Right, and this was obviously the ultimate plan, James, to try and qualify for the country championship?
Yeah, no, that's right. When we went to Louth last year, that big picnic meet they have out there, and then we sort of had a couple of more runs, and then the Canamble was our closest tab meeting, so we went there just to see how we measured up against the better horses. And obviously we won there, so That was the plan for me.
First up 1,400 metres. It's a pretty good effort, isn't it? You must have him pretty ready.
Yeah, mate. I sort of doubted it a bit. Like, you haven't been over that ground before. But on that run yesterday, he's still not fully fit. Jake said he didn't get to the bottom of him yesterday, so who knows?
Okay. Do you stick with Jake, or do you go with a big-name jockey for the big country championship?
Oh, mate, no. I've said Jake's rode him twice now for two wins, so... Yeah, it'd be a bit hard to go off him, wouldn't it?
No, you're a very loyal man, James, which is...
Yeah, no, I wouldn't do that to him. He sort of looked after me in two rides and sort of, both two wins, so that's good.
Oh, fantastic. And what cost you less than $10,000, James?
Yeah, $7,500 I paid for him.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And how many horses have you had?
Oh, mate, I've had a few over the years, but we only sort of two at a time there on the place.
Okay.
Yeah. Muck around a bit, like most people go to the pub Friday and Saturday night, and we go to the races Saturday.
It's a good story. It's a good story. I've just got you pictured with your arm out the window of the Daihatsu coming around the yard, which is...
I tell you what, it worked for George Hanlon.
Yeah,
that's right, a couple of dogs in the back, and they sort of keep him on his toes if he starts hanging back.
I'm sure they do.
James, I don't know whether Navesh Ramdani will appreciate that if you do get a
Hey, James, do you bring the Daihatsu? Will it make it to Sydney? How long does it take you to get there from the back of Bourke?
Oh, mate, well, it took us 2 days to get to Dubbo.
Jeez, okay.
Yeah, we broke it up a bit the first. It'll take you 8 hours if you kept driving.
Good story. Look, we just wanted to say congratulations. Well done. We love the old rags to riches story. So, James, congratulations. And I take it that the horse has pulled up well.
Yeah, mate, I left him out at Frank Hayes' place, and I got a report from Frank this morning. Said, all his toes are pointing in the right direction this morning.
Good stuff, mate. James, thanks so much for your time. I'm sure our listeners enjoyed hearing from you. And onwards and upwards, mate, to the country championships at Royal Randwick. You've been to Randwick, obviously.
Yeah, mate, only as a spectator.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. It's going to be your first runner on a big, big day. We look forward to it.
If you need somewhere to stay, Ronnie's got a spare room at his place. He's not far from Randwick. He'll take you to China.
No problem.
Probably other few things like that and show you the sights in Sydney.
Very good. Sounds good.
Good on you, James. Thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, bud.
He's one bloke I would give a room to.
James Hatch.
Quite a reduced rate.
Yeah, he would charge you full price.
No.
Now, that's a good story.
I don't know about China, though.
just added up at his previous 13 starts, he'd raced for $149,000, and yesterday he raced for $150,000 in one race, so that's fantastic. Yeah.
And he picked up, $80,000, wasn't it?
$80,000.
I tell you what, it was long overdue, but it was a terrific idea, the country championships, and it produces some of these terrific stories, and that's what we like hearing about. Let's get back to the open line. 13 53 53. We'll do a call, then I'll get to some text messages. But it was just a great opportunity to have a chat with James Hatch there, and that's what the country championships are all about. Don't worry, if they're smart at the ATC, they'll be jumping on that bandwagon, because the general public love those stories. Let's get to Bruce. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, hi, fellas. How are you?
Good, thank you.
Listen, this is a question for Ron, and it had me perplexed for a while. I watch Sky Thoroughbred Central all the time.
Yep.
And Gary Clusey in particular, if a horse wins, say, for instance, up the coast there, and it carries 62 kilos or 63, he'll turn around after the race and he'll say, look, and that's even better because it's had to carry 1 kilo extra for the vest. Tell me why, if that is the case, that the vest isn't included in the weight of the weight that the horse carries in the race.
They get an allowance for the vest there, Bruce, the jockeys, and it's more so for the limit weight. But you can't, I think when they bought the vest in, they didn't want to mess with the minimum weight. So the jockeys, obviously the Jockeys Association, come to a deal with the ruling bodies that the vest shouldn't be part of the weight that they've got to weigh out at.
They all go up a kilo, though.
They all go up a kilo.
And, and I also think the vest is not standardised. Not every single jockey wears the same vest.
And they weigh slightly differently.
And they can weigh, yeah. and, you know, and plenty of had a go at the
pulling the packet out,
take the other modification
like that. Yeah, so there's no standard vests at a set weight.
Yeah, they have
so
vests.
There is an allowance that is just, you know, it's a rule of thumb to say it's an extra kilo they're carrying for the vest.
It says 60
it's not
in the
guaranteed extra kilo.
It says 60 in the race book.
And one quick question for Munns.
Yeah,
when I'm watching him talking on the TV, read the prices, he's always saying the boys in the office have put this at certain prices. Can you just give me a ballpark figure? How many people would you have roughly working on a meeting there? How many blokes would assess the prices?
A lot.
There's quite a few. There's actually, you might split the meeting up between three or four guys.
Yeah.
And then that'll go around, and one guy will do a race, and that'll go towards the other, around to an opinion of the other three guys that are doing that meeting, and then they'll come up with their original price.
What about on the day, though?
But
like in
one person trades the meeting.
Right, one.
But I've been in there once and had a walk around TAB headquarters there, where it is, and someone said, oh, this is the betting floor where they do all the prices for everything, including sport and racing.
Oh, there's over 100 there.
It is massive. It's massive.
Glenn used to tell everybody he was the only bloke there.
Yeah, I know.
Well, now
the secret's out, Glenn.
Well, I was there was two guys. When we started betting on racing back in 2000, there was two guys doing racing.
Yeah.
Now, there's 102 blokes doing racing when you throw in. And that was horses, dogs and trots, mind you.
Yeah. And they all bet unders. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Good on you, Bruce. Thanks for that.
Okay, thank you.
I don't think we've had a jockey done for ripping the stuffing out of his vest.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, have we?
Oh, not for a while.
Yeah. Not for a while, maybe.
Oh, we've had them done. Don't worry. Yeah. But I just haven't.
Modified vest, we call.
Yeah, modified vest.
Self-modified.
Yeah. Hey, Baz.
G'day, fellas. Morning. I wonder if I could just have a quick chat with Dean.
Go for your life.
Yeah, Baz.
Dean, mate, I'm a massive quarterback fan. I've had some great results over the time, especially down the straight. It was horrible watching Saturday. You know, it really held my breath. And
you weren't alone there, Baz.
Yeah, I can imagine. You would have been distraught. But you think, with one bad thing happening, maybe it could be a blessing in disguise. Would you consider, now that the new market preparations are a little bit jeopardised, would you consider that James Hatch would be good enough for him to put his horse and bring it from Broken Hill and take 3 days to get here? Would you ever consider taking your horse over to Ascot to kick some pommy butt?
wouldn't mind seeing him go to Dubai, but that's taken a bit of a setback after Saturday too.
Really?
So so anyway, Dubai's the place we want to go with him if we can, in early or late March, early April. But there's a lot of water to go under the bridge in the next few weeks. See what happens.
Good on you, Baz. We thank you very much. Just a quick one, Dino. Northwest Passage at Moonee Valley on Friday night. Your opinion?
Gee, it was a good win. I watched his wins in Tassie and I thought, oh, gee, the best part of his race was when he got in the straight. And I just wondered if the valley had suited him. And coming to the turn, I thought, well, work this out. He was starting to sort of battle. As soon as he got in the straight line, he just took off again. And for a three-year-old to do that against older horses, that was a big win.
A quick one from the Duck. Hi, boys. What's happened to Black on Gold? I thought Chris Waller rated it highly.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a feel.
That's a while ago now.
I'm not sure what happened. Horses go amiss, and obviously every day the horses are retired through tendons or whatever.
What about Jorda for the slipper, Ronnie?
She's had a big setback as well.
Yeah, that's from Shannon.
You don't need setbacks at this time of year, so she's chasing a tail. She's been to Melbourne and had a setback and come back. It's going to have a trial in a week or so, so... look, a little setback there, although she hasn't gone to the paddock yet. I think they're still working on her. So all is not lost, but like I said, you don't need those setbacks.
All right. I can't believe the hour's gone this quickly, but we need our horses to follow. I'll go to Dino first.
I would say Pure Pride out of race one.
Pure Pride.
Good mare. I know she only won one race, but she'll win a good race over the autumn.
Okay.
And I think Spieth will win the Newmarket.
Did you have a look at that Stony Rises pedigree, the horse
in the back of Berg? Yeah, I mean, as the trainer just explained, he sort of picked him up at a sale. But the second dam's a half-sister to Bel Esprit. It's amazing where they end up in life. You know, he actually is on the dam side, amazingly well-bred.
Not bad, is it? That's not bad at all. What about you, Ronnie? Horse to follow?
I reckon she's come back a stronger mare and be right in the Coolmore Classic, Euro Angel.
Yeah.
She's a beauty.
Yeah, it was a good run. Yeah. It was a nice, very nice run on the weekend. And Glenn?
Saw a nice maiden winner at Newcastle on Thursday, Joey Pride's horse, Tamarack. Very, very impressive when he stretched out the last 100 metres. That was only his second run in a race. And I think he's not too far off coming to town, and he'll win a midweek race pretty easy. And TK, Trekking is down to trial in heat number 10 this morning at Warwick Farm, due to jump at 10:18, so roughly 20 minutes from now, Trekking.
10:18, we'll be having a look at that. I'm sure Gemma Cutting will be keeping her eye on that trial by Trekking. And just a quick one. Hi, Terry and panel. I'm glad you're back on Mondays. It's good that management does listen to the public. It's a great show. Keep up the good work. All the best. Ian, good to be back, Ian. And nice to have the boys back. As always, thanks, Dino.
Thank you, TK.
Thanks, Duff.
See you guys.
Good punting, Glenn. Well, no. We don't want Glenn punting. We want to be taking money off you. All right.
Yeah, busy day, Ronnie, today. Get ready. Get your dark suit out.
Yeah. Photos shoot.
You've got a makeup call now. I think your photo's about 2 o'clock, so you'll be get there and get your makeup off.
Yeah. Not a miracle worker.
The most exciting day of the year.
Mm. All right. Thank you, guys.
I didn't know we had that many blokes work for us.
Bye, Glenn.
See you, mate.
He's now got 100 helpers, Glenn. It's not just all him. That is Punters Post Mortem for this Monday morning. Nice to have your company.